Welcome to the Round 9 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week, as per usual, we're joined by FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone. G'day, Marcus.
And this week, Mark, I'm broadcasting all the way from... It's a bit drizzly. I thought I was going to say sunny Amsterdam, but drizzly Amsterdam. So it might be a little bit of a shorter show. Still tuning in all the way from over here, and I've met a mate. His name's CJ. He used to write for the site. He's been on one podcast before, so welcome onto the show, mate.
Hey, guys.
Recently, this weekend, I've had to battle the fact that lockout basically happens about 4 a.m. in the morning, rolling lockout, and goes until about 9 a.m. in the morning over here. So to be on our Supercoach game is a whole nother level. It's a bit of a challenge. And all things considered, CJ is doing really well with where he's ranked because he's been in Europe this entire season. So why don't you start us off with how you're actually ranked, CJ?
I'm ranked just inside the top 4,000. I scored 2.387 this week, mainly because of Marcus's good advice telling me to bring in Franklin, which I was pretty happy with. I don't think the rolling lockout's too bad over in Europe, but it has screwed me a few times, particularly in the early weeks when I wasn't so accustomed to it, but it's not too bad.
I find myself letting that slip quite a bit in my first week. Hopefully I get used to it like you have, mate. I scored 23.99, which was one short of 2,400. I almost said I could score 2,400, but painfully fell short. I was on track for a massive 2,500, but then Sell had a stinker. Clark got subbed off. Just things did not go well on the Sunday. But, you know, can't complain. 23.99 puts me with the biggest score out of the three of us this week. It's not huge in the community. Lots of people got bigger scores. But it's the first ever week where my two trades this week, I brought in Wallace and Franklin. So 149 and 153. And I've never managed to do that before in a double trade. So super pumped about that. And there are a lot of doubters on Mitch Wallace last week, and after big 153, it doesn't matter if he screws up over the next couple of weeks, he's still gone up 50k for me, and he'll still go up hopefully another 100k. So I'm very, very happy about him, and probably looking at maybe Amon this week, which we'll get to in a little bit. Mark, why don't you start us with how you actually scored?
Jeez, it sounds like you guys have got a pretty tough traveling around Europe, mate.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
I scored 23.30 on the weekend, which I thought at one stage I was going to be a long way behind you, Marcus, after you had Buddy and Wallace going so big early, but a couple of people saved me on the Sunday. I think Nick Nat and Goldstein and the Rucks were huge for me.
152?
He's back, yeah. Hopefully. I was at the Richmond Essendon game, so I didn't see the Dangerfield 5 contest, but that was pretty important for our teams, I think. 188 and 158.
Yes.
With Fifey as captain. And Teithshaw as well, 144. So that was huge. I moved up about 100 spots to 2,424. Seems like a pretty good position to be in going into the buys. Hopefully I can make a run over the next few weeks. And yeah, good on you, mate, for bringing in those two players. I've had Mitch Wallace in my draft team all year, and he's been pretty good for me too.
Yeah, Mark, you mentioned Dangerfield being huge for us. And as a player who is definitely overrepresented in the Supercoach Coach community, that was a massive relief to see because he had been flagging a little bit in terms of his average, not quite where we want it to be. But after 188, his average is back up to a top eight average score, 116.67. And with that, Mark, we saw a huge boost in the Supercoach Coach leagues over the weekend, which is absolutely awesome. Supercoach Coach Queens.
He was our preseason lock.
He was our preseason lock, and we smashed the average. Averages out the park. I think most of our leagues averaged 2360 plus, which was very, very clearly a step above the pack this week. And so our leagues came in, Supercoach Coach Queens came in. We're only 100 points off the first league now, sitting pretty at second, 100 points across 18 players. That's peanuts, Mark. 5 points each. We can do that. And Supercoach Coach number one top ranked public league for the Supercoach Coach community. That's gone up to third as well, not very far behind the top two leagues. I think we've got something like
awesome.
Five or six in the top 10, eight in the top 20. We are smushing it. So could not be happier.
Eight in the top 20.
Eight.
That's crazy.
That's right. We're killing it. And we haven't even hit the buys yet, which is when we really start to shine as more seasoned coaches. So very, very much looking forward to seeing what the community can continue to pump out. Very, very exciting time. So well done to everyone who's part of any of our leagues. Don't forget, you can engage with us on our forums, supercoachcoach.com.au/forums. There's a whole bunch of them representing the site super, super well. I think even the Supercoach Coach VIX, which is a completely random league, so people that just found themselves paired together, they are all giving themselves high fives on the forum, sitting pretty at 10th. That's amazing, Mark, don't you reckon?
That's an amazing result for just a group of people that have signed up to the site in the preseason and just joined in when you put out the code.
Yeah, I mean, the Aces, our Premier League over the past few years, we're sitting at 17th right now. So huge effort from a massive number of people in our community. Hopefully we continue to see good scores moving forward. So before we move off the scores, just want to update you guys with our group. In our Supercoach Coach group, Travesty is still at the top ranked in that, ranked fourth overall. So well done to you, Travis, 2384. But the biggest mover of the week, I reckon, 2593, Nate Snags, SCC, moved up to 78th position overall with a huge score.
So, should point out, Marcus, that that is my mate Nate, who you would have heard me refer to several times over the years on the podcast, and was a groomsman at my wedding.
Awesome. Your mate Nate is killing it. Well done, Nate. A few more big scores in our league. So very, very well done to the Supercoach Coach community, pulling massive numbers. On to the big topics for the week. Don't forget, we take our questions from facebook.com/supercoachcoach and on Twitter at supercoachcoach. Again, massive response. And we'll try and get to as many as we can this week. But the hot topics are looking for rookies. We've got a couple that are past the bubble, but they haven't gone up too much. And considering we're a bit stretched for options, they come into consideration. The bubble boys, few and far between. Biggs is one that we'll talk about, but he's expensive and maybe doesn't have the best job security. So we'll get through those rookies. And then probably the big news for the week, Rockcliffe, he tweeted that he was going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks, re-cracked three of his ribs, but now on the injury list, the official AFL injury list, for 4 to 6 weeks, which puts him out right through the bye. So that is certainly a huge point of discussion this week. We'll get into the actual questions. And first question from Smarty Macca. He wants to know whether the bye affects whether to keep Rockcliffe or not. He has Cam Ellis-Yeoman on the bench for the moment. So for this week, he's at least got good cover. For next week, Rockcliffe was going to miss anyway. Where do you actually sit on dealing with Rockcliffe, Mark?
He seems like the sort of guy that's going to want to play after 2 weeks and want to come back. And obviously, he pushed to come back a bit early last time, but you'd think that this time with Brisbane's season sort of probably in a bit of trouble, that they're probably just going to force him to sit out. He's going to demand to come back, and they're just going to make him sit out that little bit longer and fully heal this time. I doubt he'd come back early twice. So yeah, if it's 4 to 6 weeks, I think even if it's 3 guaranteed weeks, you can't afford to have him out in round 12. So that would be a guaranteed trade for me. You got to get rid of him, unfortunately. And I just brought him in this week.
Yeah, CJ and I are both a bit glad because we brought him in 1 week early. So he did go up 40K for us and scored a 120 as well. I don't think he needs to be traded straight away. I think if you've got decent cover, you can hold off until after his bye and trade him to somebody who's free of his bye. Rory Sloane has a chance to come back this week. He still has a really high break even. It'd be nice to see a decent game out of him, watch him drop another 20K and swap him for Rockcliffe after Sloane's bye is done as well. So I don't think he's a necessary trade out this week. Having said that, a lot of people like to do a lot of trades during the buys. If you have X amount of trades planned and Rockcliffe doesn't fit into that, then maybe you need to pull the trigger a week early. But for me, I wasn't planning a stack of upgrades through the buys. I was planning a more conservative finish. So I'm considering maybe holding him for a couple of weeks and then reassessing. I don't think it's going to hurt me too badly because you can trade to someone who finished their buy.
So. Yeah, I think it's perfectly acceptable to hold him for this week. You knew he was going to miss anyway, so I assume you have cover for him for round 11. And then the option of bringing in Sloane is quite appealing.
Move on to the rookies now. First question is from Robert Bobby Gain. Was Bailey Dale a mistake? So Mark, Faz and I were a bit hotter on him than you were, mate. And I think you ended up going with Amon in the end. So you're not riding the Dale train. Their coaches are a little bit worried, Faz included, that now they've jumped on this rookie because of structural reasons. And after the showing on the weekend, they're worried he's going to be dropped already. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, at the start of last week when we were doing the podcast, I was still pretty unsure on those rookies. And as the week grew a bit longer, I went on to Amon instead of Dale. Amon didn't have a standout game. I think he did probably a bit more than Dale. I figured his job security was pretty low, and I think that when you picked him, you probably knew that that was a fair bit of a risk that you were taking. So maybe it's too early to judge whether Dale was a mistake. I think you want to see whether he does keep and stay in the team or not. But I mean, I could see the reasons why he would fit your structure, and he fit my structure a lot better, but I just thought that his job security was too low. So that seems to be playing out, but there's still a lot more to go under that bridge.
Well, I went to Wallace because at the end of the day, I was a little bit too worried about Dale to pull the trade to him despite liking it for my structures. So I'd agree with you. If you had Dale, I mean, there's no point jumping the gun on moving him. You just got to hope that it works out. McRae and stuff were always going to be a bit of a job security risk. So we'll move on to the next question, and it's from @Fabregasto, and it's probably the most pertinent rookie question for the week. Are Dumont and Kyle Amon the most obvious double downgrade targets this week to build for an upgrade war chest? The job security there seems okay. So both have had one price movement. Dumont has gone up a bit more. I think he's gone up about 30, 40.
29K
you went up this week.
29K, so he's at 155.
150.
And then Amon's at pretty similar, 141. So they're both costing at that premium. Dumont, I think, out of the two, seems to be the one with a bit more sketchy job security with, you know, Swallow, Wells, Del Santo coming out. Having the exact same buy, I would tend to lead toward Amon. Thoughts on that, Mark?
I think I'm going to go the other way on that one, mate. Amon, he did some really nice things. He took a mark on a lead with Tom McDonald on his hammer and managed to hold on to it, where most full forwards haven't been able to do that this year. So he looked all right, but the fact that he started the sub in his first two games and then got subbed out in his third game, it's not great signs for his job security or his scoring power going forward. North lost, but Dumont played really well in that game, I think, and ended up scoring 81. So I think if he can get into the team and not be the sub, he would probably be a better pick than Amon. But as far as obvious double downgrade targets, I don't think that I'd be looking to bring both of them in. I already have Amon, and I'm pretty reluctant to bring Dumont in. It could happen, but I am reluctant to end up with both of them to build a war chest, because there's not a lot of rookies coming through, and they do seem the best this week, but they don't seem like awesome options.
So you have Amon, Mark, and you recommend me get Dumont instead?
Well, I guess maybe because I've got him, I'm more scared.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I just think Dumont probably had a better game on the weekend because he played it out, played the full game, and Amon, a bit of a little tacker, and there'd be some doubts about him playing out a full game.
Okay, that's helped swing my mind a little bit if you're nervous about him, Mark. CJ, any thoughts about these two blokes?
Not really sure you want to bring in both of them, but I think, to be honest, I can't really split them. Dumont looked like he had a better game on the weekend for me, but I know a lot of the guys over in Port Adelaide are very, very hot on Amon, so that's kind of what swayed me into trading him in the first place. I'm not really sure you need to trade in both. I probably wouldn't recommend it, but I think if you're looking for a rookie downgrade, I think these guys are probably some of the better options we're going to see out of this week and next week.
What I'm going to do after this show, Mark, I'm just going to tweet Dunny straight away and ask him whether or not I should still bring in Amon, because Mark's making me a little bit nervous. So, okay, got the views there. Well,
Dunny has been pretty hot on him, mate.
Yeah.
I've spoken to Dunny myself, and he has been reasonably confident. Like CJ said, the Port supporters I'm speaking to are pretty big fans of Amon.
That really didn't help. I thought you were going to help me confirm my pick right there, so thanks for giving me more work to think about. All right, Jordan Donaldson.
It looks like you got the magic touch at the moment, mate, with Wallace and Franklin last week, so I'm sure you'll do the right thing.
Jordan Donaldson's question next. Prefer Biggs or Dumont? So we just talked about Dumont, but Biggs is brought up on the bubble. 209K, scored 70, and then only 20 last week as the sub. So it does seem to be a bit of the trend that the Dogs give him the first full game to come in, and then the second game rest him up a bit with a sub. Daly got a full game in his third, didn't he, Mark?
Dale played full game first one, second game sub, full game in his third game. So yeah, you'd think if Biggs held his spot, it'd be a good chance for a full game.
What do you actually think about him from a job security point of view? Because I think we're all reasonably happy with scoring potential.
I mean, I really like Biggs. I'm a bit worried after he was subbed on the weekend and the fact that the Doggies won, and they've probably got some players to come back into that side. So that worries me a little bit, but I think that he's a really good chance of holding down his spot in the team. 210K, if you don't have to bring him in this week, he's got a break even of 35, so probably won't go up too much, so you can probably wait a week if you wanted to. I think that from what it seems like there's going to be a reasonable amount of movement within that Bulldogs team, so I guess it's going to come down to how his form and whether he can hold his spot.
You got to be a pretty special player to warrant
200k price tag.
You got to be a Patrick Cripps. You got to be a significant player. The equation last week was Shane Biggs at 210 or Mitch Wallace at 325. Some people were using it as an argument against Wallace. Like, why would you get Wallace if you could get Biggs for 210? Like, why would you get Biggs when you can pay 100k more for a bona fide guy who's played 50 games? So I'd probably prefer to actually go cash all the way down. Money. Yeah, that's right. Cash money. Next question is from at Muddy Moose from Twitter. Worth taking a punt on any of these pre-bubble rookies? Mark, I don't actually know any pre-bubble rookies. Do you?
Hamling, who played awesome for the Doggies in his first game, came in for Talia, played key defense, spent a few years on the Geelong list, and I guess a lot of people have been waiting for him. I think I saw a stat today that 16% of the top 2,000 teams already have him in their team and had him before last week. So they'd be happy that he came in. A lot of people had punted on him at the start, but the reason why I wouldn't bring him in this week is because he plays this week his second game, then he has his bye, and he's just the perfect round 12 downgrade. Yep. Someone like McKenzie to Hamling in round 12 just makes so much sense, and it's going to be so hard to find these downgrades across the byes. So I'm pretty excited by Hamling.
Yep.
Pretty excited to wait.
Yep. Wait. Do not trade this guy in when he's going to be the perfect downgrade option for you when we're struggling to find downgrade options. I cannot agree with that anymore. Wait. Unless you're really forced to, wait. All right, Tom Anderson's question next. He wants to know who to actually trade out. So there's a lot of rookies. We've talked about a few in the past. So I just want to talk about two who had particularly poor games on the weekend. Yeah. Oxley. He got subbed off and he was listed as neck soreness, but he's, of course, scheduled to play this week. So where do you guys sit on him? Siege?
Yeah.
I'm looking at trading out Oxley this week, but my back line is pretty much ready to go, except for I've got one rookie spot at the moment down back, which could be filled by either Saad or Oxley. And so I'm looking at Oxley. If he has another poor game with a high break even near 100, he's going to drop about 30k, and I'm just going to go and cash in that value this week. But I can understand totally why you would keep him, particularly because he's proven that he can bust out very big scores, and a lot of his big scores have come after poor rounds.
I think Faz brought this up a couple of weeks ago, and I said it's really important for all the coaches out there who's still getting into trying to think through the best trades for your team. It's super important to look who you're actually bringing onto your field with your trade outs. If you're trading Oxley out like CJ is, and he's not going to affect your score on ground because he's actually already in a cover position, then it makes a lot more sense for somebody like CJ to not risk the value dropping and cash it in this week. If you're actually using Oxley on field and you might have to put McIntosh in instead or Lever, you potentially...
So you should be going up.
Yes.
If he's on your field, you should be upgrading rather than downgrading.
Yeah, I think that's very much what we're trying to get across here, Mark. Hit the nail on the head.
Just listen to this, Marcus.
Yep.
So round one, he scored 31 because he got subbed out, followed it up with 116. Round four, he got 47 because he got subbed out, followed it up with 148. He's probably a favorite to beat his break even this week. In all seriousness, though, if he plays a full game this week and it says that he's available and he was subbed out because he was sore and it's raining and he doesn't like getting wet, he should come back this week. He should score pretty well. Yeah. He's not going to lose too much money if Brody Smith has a break even of 126. So they could be reasonably similar prices in a couple of weeks. So works better for the buyers to actually hold Oxley while Smith is on buy and then trade him out. So I'm reasonably keen to keep him as long as he's not the starting sub and try and ride him out. He's done an awesome job so far and hopefully he pumps out another big score.
I think at this point, at his price tag, the good part is, and I think we talked about a rookie like this last week, at that price point, you can't lose with them anymore. You either trade them out and you enjoy the fact that they reached a sick price point and you're getting them out close to their peak, or you know, you hold off, you use their points for a bit more and you trade them around the buys. I think, you know, either way, both is equally strong. It just, you need to look at what works for your team structure. And the most important thing is to not forget who you're leaving on field. So the next rookie that we want to talk about is Mitch Clark. He's got a 37, got subbed off with an ankle injury. What's his actual status on the injury list, Mark?
Listed as a test, mate.
As a test. So his break even isn't actually as high as I thought it was going to be. It's 55 only. So it's not actually going to drop in price.
So I'm in an interesting spot, though. I've got Bell Chambers and Clark on my forward bench at the moment, which is quite a lot of money just to be sitting on that bench. And this is why I guess a lot of people went to Dale last week. I'd really like to downgrade one of those guys, but the downgrade options just aren't presenting. So I might have to maybe downgrade him to a midfielder and bring Cracker forward, but then I lose the DPP, so I'm not really keen to do that. So I'm really not sure how this one's going to play out with the Bell Chambers, Clark and Tarrants up forward.
I mean, Bell Chambers has turned out to literally be the bane of our existence. I would hate to think where our leagues would be without our overexposure to Bell Chambers. Hurting.
I'm really enjoying everyone complaining about Bell Chambers. I didn't bring him in at the start of the year, and I've been very happy with that decision.
Ugh. All right. So on to the next play and into the midfield. The question's from QDQQ. Is it too late to jump on Wallace, or is that just chasing last week's point? So is a little bit relevant because he actually has the lowest break-even in the competition at the moment. He's got break-even of negative 41, and that smashes. I think the next best is probably Amon or Dumont at about negative 20.
You do have Josh Glenn is minus 67, but yes. Not hasn't been playing, obviously.
Yeah. Josh Glenn might be named this week, though. There was a lot of talk. Gold Coast Suns tweeted that he would be right to play this coming week, last week. So keep an eye on the team sheets for him.
I don't think he's relevant anymore. He was relevant when he could come in, go into your team for 4 weeks, and then come back out before the round 12 bye.
I agree, anyone
picking him with that round 12 bye right now. It's not even a selection. But Mitch Wallace, because he scored 150, even if he gets reasonably average scores in the next 2 weeks, could potentially still go up 100k, which, I mean, isn't amazing, but is a pretty quick cash grab.
Our listeners will remember that high-pitched tone in your voice, Marcus, when you're so excited by someone that you're just bursting when you talk about them.
Well, I'm excited because I got the 54k price increase, but I do think that it probably is 1 week too late on him and you probably don't need to pick him up. But I just wanted to get your thoughts because he was actually brought up on the forum and a few people were thinking about him. Obviously, as somebody with him, I would like less people to bring him in, Mark. So, go ahead and dissuade people. Yeah. Go for it.
I'm strongly considering Rockliffe to Wallace this week.
What?
It doesn't change my buy structure. I know that you would like to have that as a point of difference against me, but it doesn't change my buy structure. It gives me $106,000 to spend somewhere else in my team, which could be quite useful because I've got about 55 in the bank now. So that would be able to make me make an upgrade somewhere else, which would be pretty cool.
I thought you were going to say I'm getting overexcited and that you shouldn't bring him in.
I think after his 150-odd, the risk with Wallace is quite low because, I mean, he should have no troubles getting to 500,000. If he starts to look like he's going to struggle, then you can always just trade him out. And I think that rather than bringing an extra round 11 player into your team, you're just trading one round 11 for another, so it's not so bad.
Last week, Mark, you said, I just don't see how Wallace could be a feasible selection. You said that last week.
Marcus.
Eat your word.
Marcus, there's a couple of reasons for that. One of them being there is no way in hell you expected him to get anywhere near 150 in that first game. If he had have scored 100, we're looking at a very, very different situation, and I wouldn't be advocating bringing him in this week. The other thing is all preseason you rattled on about do not bring in mid-prices that play round 11. Do not bring in mid-prices that play round 11. And then 2 weeks before round 11, you did it.
And it was ballsy and it paid off. Ba-bang! Thank you very much. Anyway, I'm surprised that you ended up on that side of the coin, Mark. I think you're probably right in the sense that the 154 makes him a lot safer to bring in this week. If the fact of Rockliffe goes down makes it a lot easier to bring in this week. Yeah, I think situationally he works out really well. And he's got a sick run after the bye. We read their run out last week when Faz was on the show, and it's absolutely Brutus. That was a big reason for bringing him. And I like the fact that Wallace to Ablett is potentially the last trade if Wallace drops off at some stage and Ablett comes good. And so that was my plan B.
I think the only way I'm considering Wallace is if I'm in the same situation as Mark and I'm looking at downgrading Rockliffe, particularly if you're someone who doesn't have much cash in the bank and can't turn Rockliffe into a bona fide, even if they're a cheap premium like Ollie Wines, then I think Mitch Wallace has appeal as he helps with looking at your round 12, having a bit of money to actually upgrade rookies like Oxley, Saad. So I think from that perspective, he's quite interesting. I don't think we'd be having this conversation if Rockliffe wasn't injured. And I don't think I'd be advocating bringing him in for anyone other than Rockliffe. But I don't mind that trade at all.
Oh, Mark, you're going to join my bandwagon and ruin the party.
No guarantees here, mate. It's still early in the week. Okay. Yeah, we'll see how we go.
I'm sure either way you'll go, Mark, you will find some decent value. There are avenues to keep improving your team, despite all the options seeming poor this week, like Amon and Dumont. If you get creative, you'll be able to find something. So everybody who's out there and who's feeling like they're struggling to make any decisions this week, I know there's a lot of talk about holding off on trades this week. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think in round 11 is kind of when you need to be downgrading to build for the round 12 period where you need to have the cash to upgrade. But in round 10, I really think you can continue upgrades as normal. If you hit around 13 premium, you still got two more weeks in your team. There's no real reason to cut it short a week early. You don't need five trades for downgrading, and there aren't five rookies to downgrade too. So 100k from a mid-pricer like that could be very valuable in the mid-season. So get creative, maybe. So we'll move to the next question from at Banjo AFL, Selwood v Wine. So they're both round 13. They both dropped in price. Wines, as we mentioned at the top of the show, dropped because of that 76 in round 3, finally breaking out the price movements. 514k, having dropped 25,000 for the year. His other scores have been 130, 105, 100, and 123. I talked him up big time, Mark, after the round 2 show. I hope it didn't influence too many people because it was really unlucky that he then went and broke his forearm, but I said I think he could be a top 8 mid for the year, and I still do really believe that. He's come back, scored 100 and 123. Are you as gung-ho, Mark, or are you leaning more toward Selwood rebounding?
This one is very, very difficult to split. Wines seems like he's got the form and the runs on the board at the moment, and I think the thing in Wines' favour is that Port bat a bit deeper in the midfield, whereas Selwood with Bartel out at the moment, Duncan out, CBJ playing more forward, he just doesn't have as many bodies around him. And I think that Selwood, he's copped a lot of tags in the past, but last year Stevie J copped it a lot, which really allowed Selwood to have those games where he gets off the chain and he scores 150 plus, and he had so many of them. So I think that's a really, really difficult one to split. I still think Selwood's going to come good, but potentially that there are reasons why things might be different this year with Selwood, and he may not reach the heights of previous seasons.
CJ's a Geelong supporter, so why don't we get your thoughts on Selwood? CJ, from a different Geelong supporter's point of view.
Having watched Selwood play this year, he's still a very good player, but I think, obviously, like looking at what Mark said, he's not getting the same protection from the tag. And also, Geelong, importantly, aren't winning as much as we were last year or in previous years. It's hard to ignore the fact that he's one of only three guys who have been in the top eight midfielders for the last three seasons running, with Pendlebury and Ablett as the other two. So he does have history on his side, but for me, I think I'm actually going to bring in Ollie Wines this week. After watching the last Cats game and seeing Selwood and Geelong play, I'm a bit more sold on Ollie Wines.
I went into last week thinking Geelong could probably get up, and there's a decent chance that, not a good chance, but there's a decent chance that we can get up against West Coast, and that Selwood would beat the tag and all that, but no, he scored 80, and it, to me, he looks more like the Cochin pick, and it makes me realize just how important it is to win week in and week out to get those super coach points. Pick from Fremantle, pick from Sydney, pick from Hawthorn, because they're going to be more reliable. I mean, when St Kilda were flying, Montagna, Del Santo,
Hayes.
Lenny Hayes, you just go for the teams that are winning all the time, because when they're not, consistency becomes such a difficult thing. It doesn't matter how good you are, even if you're Joel Selwood, all of a sudden your scoring becomes like Trent Cochin. So, you know, maybe if Trent Cochin was in a team that was firing every week, he'd be scoring 125. I just think that too many unknowns with Selwood moving forward, and I hate to say that, and I love Wines. I love me some wine. So more people on the Wines bandwagon, the better. I've talking up big time.
Everyone's going to get drunk.
Yeah, so I think it's a bit weird that out of the three of us, the two Geelong supporters have the strongest points of view, and we're going away from Selwood, and Mark, you're the most probably on the fence out of the three of us.
I'm off the fence now after talking to you guys.
He's off the fence and on the
walls. Okay, that's great. That's it for this week, I think, guys. Is there anything else that we should cover?
Don't forget about the buys. The buys are coming. Make sure you structure up your team. Buys, yeah. buys. Pick the player that you're trading in purely because of buyers at this stage.
Yep, 100%. Make sure whatever your trade decisions are, they work for the buy. I think the biggest tip that I can give you is going into round 11, you ideally want to have two premium backmen, three premium midfielders, two premium forwards, all with the round 11 bye. That way you maximize the amount of points that you, you know, lock away for the rest. That's the one thing that I work toward, trying to get in as many of those round 11s locked away as soon as I can. And then after that, making sure I can trade out those round 12 and round 13 players back down to players that have finished their bye. So it's about building bank next week.
I think the only argument for building bank this week is if you're not convinced there's going to be a decent rookie to bring in next week to make bank with, in which case you might be looking at an Amon or a Demott.
It's still too painful. Like, you're bringing in Wines this week, for example. Could you imagine bringing a rookie in instead and taking 400k next week? Like, I think, like, it's just, it's too many weeks to hold. You can downgrade next week, surely. You've got three trades to deal with.
The question is whether or not there's going to be the rookies there to downgrade to. I think for me, I've got $300,000 in the bank at the moment because I'm a frugal man. I like cash money, and I'm looking at making three trades in round 12. If I didn't have so much money, I would maybe be looking at trading in, and didn't have Amon or Demott, I would look at maybe trading in one of those this week.
I also think you probably don't need that much money for the actual upgrades, especially if people are going to bring in Hamling before the round 12 bye, because that means you'll be doing two upgrades and one downgrade.
Yeah.
You're net only really doing one upgrade, so you only really need
about
to...
50,
that's right. So you don't need to build too much money, if you, especially if you're bringing Hamling in. I really, really, really would stress... it's a serious mistake. You're not really thinking about maximizing your points properly if you are taking 400k in bank for 2 weeks. I think that's strictly wrong. No, if you'll necessarily agree with that, Mark, but that's probably where I stand on it. It's just too much money.
It does seem reasonable. One of the advantages we didn't mention about Dumont and Amon is that if they actually got to play the next three games without the sub vest, then you could actually be trading these guys out before their bye. So that's probably something to consider. Marcus, big game between the Bombers and the Cats on Saturday night. I'm guessing if you're in Amsterdam smashing down hash cookies, you will not be coming to the footy.
No, sadly. CJ and I, we will be streaming from over here. We've signed up for the monthly pass. So I've been waking up at the middle of the night. CJ can testify, off jet lag, just to watch the footy and trade. So I'm keeping in with the lockout as best I can, guys. And I'll be sure to message you, Mark. And it's huge for both of us. Our teams are both flagging, sadly.
I'm used to it, mate.
You're used to it? Oh, no. No, no, no. I don't want to be used to this. Please, no. Anything to leave our listeners with, Mark? Your final trades, anything?
No, not really. I'm thinking maybe Rockliffe to Wallace and maybe a Bell Chambers up in the forward line, looking at potentially a Boomer or Zeeble type. I'm loving North Melbourne's draw for the second half of the year, so I wouldn't mind bringing a couple in.
That's very fair. I think I'm looking at upgrading Oxley to Wines, and I might actually pull the trade on the Rockliffe to Wallace this week just to really firm up my...
Piss Marcus off.
Yeah, piss Marcus off. Make sure I don't cop a big fat donut in round 12, which at the moment I am looking like doing. We'll see.
Yeah, look, it's a bit frustrating that Rockliffe happens to go down everyone will bring in, but look... all things considered, considering he was a bit of a sketchier, riskier pick last week, the fact that he scored 150 and now everybody's thinking about bringing him in, that still makes me a bit happy. So that's good. I think for my trades this week, I'm going to be trading in, well, I thought Amon, but now maybe Dumont. Who knows? Mark sort of clouded the waters a little bit. I'm going to tweet Dunny about that, of course. And then the other trade would either be Rockliffe to maybe Wines or hold Rockliffe for Sloan. So I think those are my options for the week. And with that, a massive thank you to CJ. Thank you for coming on the show, mate.
That's okay.
Thanks, mate.
We'll catch you all again next week. Hopefully the Supercoach Coach community continues to move upwards. We are 100 points off taking the number one league mark. That's exciting.
Very exciting. Have fun in Amsterdam, mate.
Cheers. Catch you guys next week. See ya.